This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Road School Moms Live. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time road schooling mom to four kiddos and co-founder of FullTimeFamilies.com. And on the line with me tonight...
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher. I'm also the homeschooling mother of four on the road with my road trip teacher site that is our educational resource for the Road School 101 crew, and we are so excited to be coming to you from tonight from Northern Illinois. Where are you in the world tonight, Kimberly?
Tonight, Mary Beth, I am in Idaho Falls making our way to Yellowstone.
Ugh, I'm so jealous. I have not been to Idaho Falls. I've been to the Coeur d'Alene area, which I'm absolutely in love with. But I've never been to Idaho Falls, and you know that one of my favorite places in the country is Yellowstone. So, love that place.
Yeah.
Yes,
Oh, go ahead, honey.
No, I was just going to say, I have to tell you, because we always talk about this, you know, about the skidding in at the last second. I've never dialed in before when the music was already on until tonight. So, yeah. Anyway, Yellowstone, what were you saying?
I noticed that. All of a sudden I hit the play the music because it's on a different screen on the control panel, and then I clicked over, and I was like, oh, she's not there.
My co-host is not co-hosting.
I knew you'd be there, though. I knew you'd be there. What are you drinking tonight, Mary Beth?
I'm drinking good old-fashioned iced tea. And, you know, I talked about earlier on the full-time families board, my Grammy makes it with a secret ingredient, so I've posted that recipe. I'm going to post that right now in the chat because I just put it on there. And what it is, it's a pinch of baking powder. She puts a pinch of baking powder in her with the tea bags when she's steeping the tea. It takes the bitterness out.
And what does that do?
It just takes the – I think it takes that little bit of bitterness out and just makes it really smooth.
Ooh, I'm going to try that. That sounds yummy. Thanks.
Just did, like literally a pinch of baking powder when you're steaming it.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So what are you drinking tonight?
I went online because I was feeling like I needed a smoothie, and I went online, and at Blissful Basil, I found this delicious chocolate-covered strawberry smoothie, which I'm about to post the ingredients right here in our chat. There you go.
Nice.
And it is delicious. Really, it hit the spot perfectly. Yummy. So I mentioned we are on our way to Yellowstone, and I want to say in 4 years this is our first time in bear country, so I want to give you a little rundown of what our road school looked like this week. We're trying to incorporate some bear knowledge without going bear hysterical. I'm keeping the bear hysterics to myself and departing the bear knowledge to my road schoolers. And so we made a craft today with paper plates and made bear faces on masks. And we're going to this week reenact Goldilocks and the Three Bears. So we're just getting knowledgeable because they see me running around with bear spray. And they're a little concerned. And I'm a little concerned, too. So I'm bringing them in slowly into this whole bear thing. And then I told you that we've been working on reading the classics every week.
Yes.
So we just finished Robinson Crusoe, and it was time to move on. And Dominic picked The Man with the Iron Mask, which is, I think, the fourth installment and final installment of the Three Musketeers, which is actually the Four Musketeers. It's kind of confusing, books. And so we started reading it, and you know what? No one liked it. We did not like it. And
really?
I struggled with, what are we going to do? Do we keep going? Because, I don't know, there's something in me says we should.
Uh-huh.
Or do we say, you know what, we really don't like this book. Let's move on to something we enjoy. So does that happen to you?
You know, it does. And I'll tell you that I sometimes what will happen, like this is what happened to us recently. And I actually had notes from this from last week's show to talk about this, and then we didn't. So it's kind of funny that you say that. because what happens with us more than, not even that we just get disinterested, but you know how you get off track and you get away from it for a few days. And then my kids don't want to ever pick up where we, you know, it's hard to pick up where you left off because you feel like you have to recap. And so sometimes we just kind of put those books on the shelves and hope that we can come back to it at a different time because maybe it's just, you know, it's just not the right time for Robinson Crusoe right now. So, yeah, if they're not interested, I don't spend a lot of time forcing it down someone's throat because, you know, it's not going to be fun for anyone.
Yeah, that's good to know. I see that Laura Hamilton's on the chat with us, and she says, as adults, we drop books we don't love. It's okay to abandon ship if you've given it a chance. And that gives me great peace of mind. I don't know why it is that I feel this constant need to follow through. I know you get that way too, Mary Beth, at times, that we start these projects or initiatives or whatever, and then we've got to see it to the end. Oh, my goodness, come hell or high water. But it's okay if it's not working to take a step back and say, this isn't working, we're going to do something else. And that's what we did. We picked up The Little Prince, which we all adore. We've been really enjoying that. It's written very well. The kids and I are enjoying the humor immensely. And then the little kids and I are reading Aesop's Fables, which, oddly enough, we got from Stephanie Simpson's Usborne Books Party that Jill had. And I'm so impressed with that because I think I ordered them last Sunday when we were on the radio show, and they came on Thursday or something like that. I'm not sure. But
wow,
they're fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's good. So that, and then do you listen, other than this fabulous podcast, do you listen to podcasts?
You know, I didn't until we started, you know, our show got picked up with Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. I had really never listened to podcasts, but I do frequently that now. Definitely all of our other show hosts, I love listening to theirs, and I've ventured out a little bit on iTunes since you were so crafty and got us all set up on iTunes. I kind of surf around and listen to different things. There's so much information out there. It's unbelievable.
There is, and I love podcasts because we have that little Bluetooth speaker in our camper. What I do is I just set up my phone and have it come out the speaker, and we could be listening to classical music, we could be listening to show tunes, or we could be listening to podcasts. And so every once in a while I'll throw on a podcast, and I find them super enjoyable, and they're short enough to keep the kids' attention. And so over at Full Time Families, I created a post today called 6 Great Podcasts for Traveling Families. Were you aware that the national parks have their own podcast?
I was not, and I actually did see that right before we went on the air, so I'm anxious to check that out. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so they have a podcast for general national parks, and then they have podcasts per park. So if you're headed to a park this summer, or if you've recently visited a park you want more information about, or even if you're staying home this summer and not going to a park, you can take a virtual vacation and explore the park through a podcast. I was super excited about that.
Awesome. You know, it's just our national parks is such a wonderful system, and I know you're a humongous fan of our national parks, as am I, and I don't know, it's just amazing to me the resources that you can find there physically when you're there, and then all the other links and things to it is pretty amazing, really.
Yeah, it's really cool. There's tons of information out there, and as road schoolers, I feel that we have the opportunity and the time to really explore all the different methods of departing knowledge on our crew.
Right.
So what did your road school look like this week?
Well, I'll tell you, our road school was a little bit crazy. We had a medical issue in my family, as you know. My dad had some surgery, so we were kind of sidetracked for a couple days. Although, I'll say, in true crazy road schooler style, my boys done some research on what his condition was and all the great ways to help him recuperate. So I thought that was kind of cool. That was, you know, I don't know whether that's was conducive to our lifestyle or if that's was just their curious nature, but of course I want to take credit for it, I guess, because, you know, with the way we do things. Oh yeah, that's how we do things. So I thought that was kind of neat. They really kind of took road school in their own hands this week in our rig, and we're winging it at the beginning of the week, but we have ended up the week doing some notebooking pages. I told you a couple weeks ago we're heavily into those, and actually Road Trip Teacher is getting ready to release some notebooking pages and copy work about national parks, and so that's what we've been doing. I'm doing a little R&D with the Road School 101 crew, so they've been doing some research for me and trying out our printables before we release them.
That's awesome. I'm loving that they took it upon themselves to find that out. That just speaks on so many levels to the type of kids you're raising, and I'm really proud for you of them.
Well, thank you. I'll have to tell you that last night even, this was my proudest mom moment all week. So Tori, my youngest, came in, and my dad, because we're parked, another little perk of our lifestyle, we're parked at my parents, my grandmother's farm, while he's recuperating. So we love that flexibility of what we're doing. And last night he said, when she went to bed, I love you all the way to the moon and back. And so she come traipsing in, and she come in, and she says, hey, Mom, how far is it to the moon? And I said, you know, I don't know. And she's like, can we Google it? I was like, okay, whose kid are you? I think you might possibly be Kimberly's kid. Let's Google it. So we did. And we found out that if you went to the moon and back, it was almost 500,000 miles. So there you go. So yeah.
That's fantastic. I love that Road Trip Teacher fact.
Me too. Learn
That's
something
very
new every day, right?
Every day. Speaking of Google, which is, you know, my favorite thing on the planet, Chris upgraded my iPhone for me because he loves me so dearly and got me an iPhone 5, and so I was able to hand over my 4S to Blaze and turn it into an iPod for him because we don't want to pay for service. And he has Siri, so he can ask her all this great stuff now, which I'm really thankful for because Blaze is the one. Blaze is 20 questions a day, and I am, true to my my own mom, go look it up.
That's so funny because I can't wait to see Blaze because now that, I mean, who's your best friend, Blaze? Siri. He may want to rename her.
Yeah, he may want to.
Well,
and we might want to change your voice around and stuff like that, but it's pretty cool. Okay, so we've talked about our road schooling and what that looks like in our rig, and part of why we have a lot of time on our hands to accomplish these things with our children is because we are not single moms, as is our guest this evening. Are on the same network as us, on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. LaToya Edwards runs not one, but two podcasts, and she joins us tonight, and I'm looking to see if, LaToya, are you on the line with us?
I am here.
Hi, welcome.
Hey, LaToya.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness, wait, hold on one second. Andrew Irwin, are you on the line with us?
Yeah, I am. I sure am.
Oh, wow. Well, welcome, Andrew Irwin, producer and director of Mom's Night Out. I guess through some scheduling miscommunication, you're on the line with us also. So would you care to still join us tonight?
It's totally up to you. I was my publicist has control of my calendar. He said to call in, so I gave a holler in, but yeah, I'm all ears.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Welcome both LaToya and Andrew Irwin. LaToya, I just want to ask you real quick, are you familiar with the movie Mom's Night Out?
I am familiar. I was actually invited to go to a sneak peek back in February, but I had childcare issues, so I haven't seen the movie yet. but I have been watching all the buzz going on about it, and I'm reading Trisha's novelization of the movie and waiting for it to come out on DVD so I can watch it myself.
Very cool, because as a single mom, I imagine it must be a little difficult to get yourself to the movies.
It is very difficult. I can't I think the last time that I went to the movies was in December. Yes.
Wow.
I took my boys. Somebody had gifted me a gift card to the theater, and we went to see Frozen, which was a very special treat because it's like $30 for us to go to the movies, so we never go. It is too expensive.
Well, Latoya, give our listeners a little background on your story, and about your story.
Right. Well, I have been a single mom for as long as I've been a mom. So about a little over 8 years. My oldest is 8, and then I have a 5-year-old, both boys, and they are very busy, busy, busy. Capital B, capital O, capital Y, boys. And, you know, I never saw myself as a single mom. It's actually kind of strange because I was going to be this high-powered attorney and I was going to be making all these policy changes and I was going to, you know, have this full-time job and the kids were going to go to public school and I'd have the weekends, you know, as family time and that. And as I was going through law school, as life does often, it takes lots of different, you know, changes. And I found myself a single mom of not one but 2 boys. Trying to go to law school full time, and shortly after becoming a single mom, my oldest son was diagnosed on the autism spectrum with sensory processing disorder, and so I had kind of lots of things going on all at once, and it was kind of in the middle of this that I was like, oh, and I'm going to homeschool too, as if I didn't have, you know, enough on my plate as it is, and it's been, you know, a lot of work, and it's challenging at times, but really it's been really great for me, for my boys, and I really couldn't imagine doing it any other way, as crazy as it seems.
Wow. And why did you decide to homeschool?
My oldest, it was quite funny because I think the first time that I heard the word homeschooling was when I was pregnant with my first son. My doula was homeschooling her children, and she was the first homeschooler that I ever met. I hadn't really heard of homeschooling before. And when I started law school, my son went to preschool, and I was getting lots of phone calls every day that he was kind of terrorizing the class, which turned out to be the fact that he was bored. So I would say, what are you guys working on in school? Like, oh, well, we're learning letters. You know, we're learning, you know, the alphabet and just a few basic sounds. And I said, well, were you not aware that my 3-and-a-half-year-old can read? And they weren't. And so I very kind of quickly realized that I either needed to put him in a private school where he could be challenged, or he was going to drive some poor public school teacher crazy, just, you know, being so far advanced for where his peers were. And so I kind of started looking into that, and it was very expensive. And especially as a single mom, I was like, you know, I don't really think there is going to be a way that I'm going to be able to work a full-time legal job, you know, and parent both boys, because, I mean, daycare alone was going to be really expensive because my youngest son would have been in daycare. My oldest son would have been in private school, and I would have been trying to work and before and after school care. And so I really kind of felt like, oh, well, I had that one friend that was homeschooling, and she was a single mom as well, and she was in law school, and I thought, well, let me talk with her and see, you know, how that works. And so I started working with my son at home. After I picked him up from daycare, we would kind of do, like, quote-unquote school time. And then once I graduated from law school and realized that law was not what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, we kind of jumped in with both feet, and we've been going ever since.
Wow. Andrew, you were homeschooled. Mm-hmm. Is your mom a single mom?
No, my mom's not. But Latoya, I respect you so much for what you do. I think that that's an amazing feat as a single mom, and to be able to invest in your kids like that. I think that you know, Moms Not Out really kind of came out of a desire to kind of affirm moms just like you. And say that, you know, you guys are superheroes and what you do is special. and to work that hard to be able to be there for your family is pretty amazing. So, yeah, that's the heart behind our movie.
Thank you.
Are you all still there?
Yeah,
we are here.
Absolutely.
Oh, there we go. I was hearing crazy feedback there. So, Andy, tell me, I was looking on here, and I apologize, I was trying to catch up here really quickly because I was off the air there for just a second for some technical reason. But I understand this right, you produced and directed this with your brother, is that right?
Yeah.
The movie mm-hmm. Mom's Night Out.
That's correct.
So you were both homeschooled. Are you the only two? Are you the, is John your only sibling then?
Yeah, it was the two of us. Very similar to Latoya's story. My brother is ADHD, and when he was in about second grade, he was just a handful, bundle of energy, and kind of labeled a distraction, and so. My mom, kind of did some tests and found out that his ADHD and my mom decided to pull both of us out of school. I was in sixth grade, he was in second, and to homeschool us. And I'm in my mid 30s, so it was still kind of fledgling in our state at that point. And we started, kind of learning. It was kind of a catch up game to kind of learn about homeschooling, and that allowed us to kind of get our start into television early. As we began, my dad was in television and traveled a good bit, so we started being able to travel with him and be a part of what he was doing, and we just really sparked an interest in that as a career, and kind of began to learn more and more about filmmaking and those things, it just gave us a lot of flexibility to kind of figure out what we love to do. And we started working, doing film projects when at that same time when John was 12 and I was about a little bit older than when we started homeschool. But when about 4 or 5 years later, we started experimenting with filmmaking. And then when John turned 12 and I was 15, we started working, doing it more of as a job. And that opened up opportunity for us to get into the film industry at a really young age. So John was working full time in film by the end of high school, and it opened up a career that we jumped straight into the career path. We didn't go to college, and to see a film come out nationwide, this is our second movie, and to see an audience connect with it, it's been an amazing experience. But homeschooling was a real big foundation for how we got our start.
That's an amazing story, and really that was just going to be my next question is, don't you think then, from your story, it sounds like to me that the way that you were schooled, homeschooling, gave you that flexibility, that kind of freedom to pursue what you like to do, and it seems like that you found that early on. Would you agree then?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, what it allowed us to do was to kind of go around the conventional way. I mean, it's conventional way into the film industry. Is to wait until you're going into college and get your undergrad out of the way and then find a film school and spend a lot of money. And you go to USC, you're going to come out of there, it's a great school, but you're going to come out of there $100,000 to $150,000 in debt and then have to start paying your dues then. It allowed us to start paying our dues in our high school days and begin to learn at our own pace. So, like you were saying, looking for unconventional ways to learn. And in those early days, it was – director's commentaries on DVDs and different things like that, and reading a lot, and a lot of those things. So I've never actually, been on another person's film set. John directed Second Unit on a couple other films, and then we worked doing music videos for years. But where we got our education was through that homeschool, kind of unconventional, being able to learn outside of the box. And that developed a career at a much quicker pace than some other people. So, we're very, very grateful for the experience. And it allowed John to kind of find the uniqueness of his gifts. I mean, the ADHD might sometimes be a distraction in a class of 30 people, but it's an asset in our industry because that allowed him to kind of multitask and do a lot of things that he discovered he did very well and was able to learn at his own pace. And like what I was saying, it was a lot of it was he was bored, and he was able to kind of learn and find methods that worked for him. And so, you know, we're both very grateful for that experience.
Andrew, this is a very unique film in that the Christian undertones were very strong. And as you know, this is a Christian radio network that LaToya hosts two shows on and we host one show on. How did you get away with that?
Well, you know, we felt like we had to compete as comedy first. It's a funny, laugh-out-loud movie that Sony got behind. And, you know, as a filmmaker, sometimes you go out and find the good stories, but 9 times out of 10, the good ones find you. And so we were planning on a completely different film was going to be our next movie. And our producer friend of ours and Kevin Downs brought us a script that had been in development that was written by a brilliant writer, Andrea Nashville, and called Mom's Night Out. It was a comedy. And we read it. And, you know, both John, my brother, and I, we both have young kids. I've got 2 under the age of 5, and he's got 3. Under the, you know, about the same age, and we read it and just laughed out loud and said, this is our life, you know, with young kids. And we said, what a refreshing opportunity to take on a film that does have strong Christian value to it, that's clean, but that's funny. And so we signed on, and John signed on to, he rewrote the script with Andrea, and they just made it funnier and funnier. And then Sony got behind it and saw the value in it, and, you know, they kept saying this is, they would look at it and say, well, we love the Christian content, but oh my gosh, this is funny. And so we were able to go get the cast that we wanted, and Patricia Heaton and from Everybody Loves Raymond plays a pastor's wife. She's hysterical. Sarah Drew from Grey's Anatomy plays the lead character, and then Sean Astin and from Lord of the Rings, and Trace Adkins, the country singer, and then a whole bunch of other names. We got who we wanted to, and then it just turned into, next thing you know, we're walking the red carpet at Man's Chinese Theater in LA, and, having a premiere, and it's coming out nationwide. It came out nationwide. So it was surreal, but you know, we look for films that are good stories first, but you know, every filmmaker has a worldview, and Mom's Night Out is definitely our worldview. And so it does have strong Christian themes, strong themes of redemption, of value, you know, of purpose, and but to tell it from a perspective of moms that, you know, instead of being the brunt of the joke, the stay-at-home mom or the single mom, all the different aspects of moms are celebrated, and it was a movie that was just supposed to affirm that moms are special and important, and so I, you know, it was exciting to come out on Mother's Day weekend and see an audience engage with that.
Well, I think you accomplished that and then some, because we went, a group of 6 moms while we were in Vegas went, and we all enjoyed it immensely and felt celebrated,
well,
as opposed to belittled.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was it was exciting.
Bill,
go ahead. What was it?
LaToya, I'm really excited for you to see it, because I think that it's the break that you need too, being just whether you're a homeschooling mom or a single homeschooling mom or a road schooling mom or a mom who has a child in my recording studio who desperately needs something. can I make you a jelly sandwich? I can after I'm done with the radio show. it's a wonderful movie to re-enliven yourself. And Mary Beth, I'm going to let you take it from here.
That'll be fine. Well, I know that I can speak for all of us, Andrew, that I applaud you on your rendition of the movie. And to be honest, when I first seen it and before I really, looked into anything of the, you know, the directing and the producing or anything like that, but I would have swore that a couple of moms put it together, because it was just done so, you know, tastefully and, like you said, without, you know, just celebrating the whole mom thing. And so love it for that.
Well, I appreciate that. There's a lot of strong women involved in the making of the film, and we did what, you know, smart men should do, and we listened a lot. So
Well, kudos to you. It was a great movie. LaToya, one thing that Andrew said that it did you say, and I'm sorry if you already said this, but one of your boys has some learning challenges. Is that what you said?
Yes. My oldest son, my running joke is that he is greedy with the alphabet. He has SPD, ADHD, and ODD, which is ODD is, and I don't even know, if he has a kind of a natural innate opposition to authority on top of being a boy, which makes things extra special. And I suspect that he's also gifted in certain areas because apparently that goes along with being on the spectrum, as if things aren't exciting enough. So, yeah, that was that's probably one of my biggest challenges just as a parent in general, but it was also something that really, really was a good motivation for me to homeschool him because he just, I mean, he would be one of the children that would not, you know, succeed or do well in a group setting, not because he couldn't do the work, but just because he would have so many other obstacles to try to work through that it's difficult for him to just, you know, pay attention and focus. It's funny, I had somebody came by one time when we were doing schoolwork, and they were like, oh, is your oldest son done? And I was like, why? Well, like, they came by, and he was hanging upside down off the sofa reading a book. I was like, no, that's how he reads all the time, because, you know, that's just, those are the things that he can do at home. He likes to read upside down for some reason. I don't know, but we're at home. I can let him do that. You know, he likes to jump up and down while doing his math facts at the table. So, you know, he has the space to do that as well, which has been, you know, just a blessing as far as homeschooling. So if I see something that he's excelling in, you know, we can zoom ahead and, you know, keep going with that and maybe take a break from something else that he's struggling with. And I don't have to worry about him, you know, being behind or is he failing or not failing, you know, and then we also have time to work on his therapy appointment, you know, during the day, which is fantastic because we have all of the morning slots are open to us because the other kids are in school. So we get to kind of get in and get out. Which has been really a blessing, you know, to be able to have him home and be successful.
Right. And how do you then as a single mom, because I'm really trying to put my mind around being a single homeschooling mom. Like I just, my hat is off to you, just about balance. And so I know for me, one of my, you know, I have four, as does Kimberly. And so I have trouble with the mom guilt sometimes. You know, when one of them's not understanding something and then you really need to be, you know, in three places at once, how do you handle that when you have one that maybe has some extra special needs and then you've got one that doesn't? How do you handle that balance?
Well, I've kind of learned that balance is an illusion, at least for me. Just because I have a friend of mine, you know, they're like, oh, I have so much on my plate. And we're like, well, yeah, single moms, you know, I've got a plate, a bowl, a saucer, a cup, and a spoon, and it's still not enough. So I think for me, for mommy guilt, I had to learn to kind of ignore it and stop trying to be perfect because it's just not possible. And so the thing that I actually like is that because my youngest son has speech issue, so he's going through speech therapy. So it kind of works out nice because when one is in a therapy session, I have that hour to be with the other one. And every now and then, you know, the heavens part and shine on me, and they have appointments at the same time, and I actually get an hour off, which is wonderful. But I just, you know, I do my best. You know, my boys, I tell them all the time, you know, mommy loves you both, and there's going to be some times when your brother needs me more than you do, and, you know, if you can, mommy, you need you to respect that time and let mommy work with your brother, and then, you know, you and I can have time. So I try to, you know, split my time as best as I can, and it kind of works out because thankfully they don't both all need me, you know, like as an emergency or for a long, long time at the same time just yet. So it's pretty, so far it's worked out so well. You know, I can say to my youngest, you know, why don't you go and play? Like, this is your chance to have all the toys to yourself to do whatever you want. I'm going to work with your brother for an hour. And then when I'm done with him, you and I can sit down and do, you know, like whatever. He likes to play board games. So, you know, if you can go for an hour when we're done, you know, mommy and you, we can play shoots and ladders or trouble or, you know, whatever it is that he wants to play. And it, you know, the trade-off. So they understand. I try to make sure if I have to focus on one for a long time, that I don't leave my other one out. You know, I can right. include them. You know, I include my little one in our math lessons as much as I can, which is quite funny because at 5, he actually keeps up with Big Brother's math work. But, you know, if we're doing like a math game, we were doing, I think, math bingo the other day, and I could see he was feeling kind of left out. So I was like, hey, why don't you come over and you be the caller? You get to call out the things while, you know, your brother and I look for them. So there are ways to kind of include, and then I just make sure that they know, you know, mommy's not ignoring you. I just, your brother needs me more than you do right now. And as soon as I'm done here, then I promise that I will make time for you. And then I have to remember to stick to that time. So sometimes that means that the dishes don't get done because I promised, you know, somebody that we would play Twister. But that's okay because there's always tomorrow to wash the dishes, right?
Right. Well, I think you said it all when you started that balance is an illusion. And I think that's a great statement. And really, when it comes down to it, there are so many things that are like that. You know, the reality of things are that it's not a roses and unicorn picture that maybe we all wish it was, you know. So that's an awesome statement. Andrew, so what's next after Mom's Night Out? Are you already, do you have the inspiration for a new project? Or
we've got a couple of them lined up that we're excited about, so we'll be announcing shortly. But I think the next thing on my list is spending good quality family time. We're in the midst of kind of a 2-week vacation. Mom's Night Out still in theaters, and it's open in about 160 new theaters this weekend. And so you know, they're having a special on Tuesday for families, I believe. You can check our Facebook and website out for that of momsnightoutmovie.com. But you know, it's been exciting to see you know, feedback from the audience. I was laughing at, you know, with Latoya saying that her oldest son likes to read while, you know, upside down. You know, my brother definitely has similar processes even now, that, you know, my mom taught him different ways to be able to focus, you know, growing up. And, you know, when he's writing a project, it always drives me nuts because I can't figure out how he does what he does. But in order to kind of keep his mind moving at the right RPM, he'll be listening to music really loud while reading another book while writing. And I'll just sit there. I was like, I don't know how you do what you do, but it works for him. So definitely some similarities there. But that's where he does his best work, is when he's got multiple things going on at the same time. But you know, I think the theme of Mom's Night Out goes very similar to what you're saying. Is the story of Mom's Night Out is about Allison, who's played by Sarah Drew very brilliantly, about a mom that is just chasing this illusion of perfection and kind of this idea of, you know, the perfect perception that's put out on Facebook and social media and Pinterest that a lot of women struggle with, where they look at it and say, you know, I just see the perfect parts of everybody else's life, and I don't measure up to that, and because life can kind of be messy. And so her journey is her finding out that she's a beautiful mess, God's masterpiece, and that, you know, God gave her kiddos exactly the right mom, and just be her. And that's kind of the message. There's a beautiful scene with Trace Atkins and Sarah that kind of touches on that, and just about who you're trying to be enough for. And so, you know, our heart was to kind of encourage, you know, women that, you know, that they're special and uniquely qualified for all that they do, working moms, stay-at-home moms, single moms. And, you know, my wife said, you know, I don't want to insult your other work, but this is the first project you've done that I've been really, really excited about. And I said, well, you know, babe, you're my target audience. You know, you're the audience that I want to encourage. And so it's been an exciting journey. It's always interesting to kind of close the chapter on that. You know, finishing up this project, the DVD, I think, is coming out sometime in September. But we're about to start into the creative process of working on the next two projects. So exciting things have come. I just pinch myself every day that I get to tell stories for a living, and it's always exciting to kind of meet the next story. So I can't wait to announce more.
Well, that's really exciting, and I'm glad you brought up that part about the Trace Atkins speech, because I want to tell you personally, sitting there in the movie theater, I felt totally connected at that moment, and I went home with a completely different attitude towards my homeschooling efforts, my efforts as a wife, my efforts as a mother, it took so much pressure off my shoulders, that one
awesome.
Segment of the movie. It was really fantastic. It was
well, thank you.
Really a great turning point.
I appreciate that. It was a special scene that Trace plays it beautifully. I mean, he's just a big, strong, 6'7" teddy bear, and we wanted the message to come from the most unlikely source. And he plays this kind of rough, gruff character of Bones. It's a biker, tattoo parlor guy, and he kind of relates this story about what his mom always shared with him. He talks about his mom, who was a single mom, and what she always shared with him, and then kind of goes on to talk about, you know, who you're trying to be enough for. And Allison sees that she's trying to be enough for herself. She can't measure up to those standards in her head. And he just encourages her that, you know, God didn't make a mistake giving her kiddos the mama that he did. So just be you. And I just it's a message that's encouraging for me even as a dad, because, I mean, we all put that pressure on ourselves. But, you know, it was just kind of a nice, you know, Hallmark card from my mom and my wife, and saying, you know, you guys beat yourselves up so much. You're amazing at what you do, and you deserve a pat on the back, and, you know, saying that what you do is important.
Well, thank you for, you know, sending that message out and for making this movie. It was great fun and sure to be a classic and to be enjoyed many, many times over and over again. So, and thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be a part of our radio show.
Appreciate all you guys do. Keep up the good work. You guys are the superheroes, so thanks for letting me be a part of your show tonight.
Thanks, Andrew.
Hi, God bless.
And God bless you, too. I want to get back to LaToya, who brought gifts for our listeners tonight.
Yes. Which one?
A great.
I brought a few.
Yes, you brought a few. So why don't you tell us what you brought, and we'll go about giving them out.
Okay. Well, I think the first thing that I have is a book that I teamed up with a bunch of other lovely ladies. It's called Overwhelmed, and it's Hope and Help for the Financial Weary. And we all, I mean, different backgrounds, homeschool, not homeschool, single mom, you know, married for forever, married with kids, married without kids, and we all just felt like we needed to kind of share our stories of some financial struggles that we had been through, and, you know, how we came out on the other side and some of the lessons that we learned. And so I actually, in the book, share about a time when my boys and I were homeless for a few months, a couple years ago, and just all the lessons that I learned and just some encouragement. And so I have one PDF copy of that book, and then there's also a 9-week study guide that goes along with it that I have for somebody. And then I have an audio testimony of when I'm sharing about what I call homeless but not without shelter, about how even though we were homeless, how God provided and all the different lessons that I learned through that time. And then I have one more audio that holds a very special place in my heart. It's called Taming Mount Mama, and it's just essentially my testimony and some encouragement about dealing with and overcoming mommy anger. It's something that I struggled with for a long time, and it's something that we don't really hear and talk about often, but it's something that's kind of, you know, common, you know, in mommies and on this journey. And, you know, I just wanted to share just some encouraging words and some hope, and to let any mom out there know that's struggling with it, that you're not alone, you're not crazy, you're still a good mommy. But I've got one set of that available as well.
Well, thank you so much for bringing those gifts. I'm giving out the number. It is 425-440-5100. Again, 425-440-5100. Conference ID 026375#. If you've missed any of this, you can quickly go to roadschoolmoms.com, and on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the event information. And in a few minutes, we will have you guys raise your hands and give away the presents. Let's talk about that mommy anger, because when your email came through that these were the gifts that you were giving out, you really touched a nerve with me. Ha ha. That's something no one ever talks about.
Right.
And I myself am very interested in hearing the audio of what you have, because I do at times experience mommy anger. I'm mad that I have to give up so much of my time and so much of myself, and that it's a job that never ends, and all the other work that I do also never ends. The sink is never empty. The laundry hamper is never empty. I experience that a lot, and I would love to know what tools you have used to assuage that.
Right. Well, I think at first I'm going to kind of just touch on, like, kind of where it comes from, at least for me. I grew up in a home where I had one parent that was kind of, he was an alcoholic, and so he wasn't very present because he was dealing with that. And to kind of compensate for that, you know, my mom, who loved us all very dearly, kind of went the other way. And whereas my dad wasn't able to be very present, she was kind of overly so present. And that kind of created in me this issue with perfection and perfectionism. I think I talked about this in one of my podcasts on my other show. But I, for the longest time, I struggled with the need to be perfect. And, you know, I have to be perfect to be loved. I have to be perfect to be, you know, accepted. Like, I cannot ever let people really see what's going on. And, you know, that's just dangerous all the way around. But when I came into motherhood, I had this perfect idea of what I thought it should be. And so for me, I was dealing with just the reality of what motherhood is. And then kind of on top of that, I was the single mom. So that really kind of led to my anger. And it's not so much, what I realized for me was it wasn't so much that I was angry at my children, because, you know, we love our children, but I was just angry at the lack of control and what was going on in my circumstances. And it really, I didn't know what it was. I just know that I felt angry and I was upset, and, you know, it's got something to do with depression. And I have to tell you that the one thing that has really, really helped me out was just scripture. Like, I had to realize, number one, you know, you're not, like, that I wasn't a bad mom. Because I think what happens, and I don't think that people do this, you know, intentionally to be to be mean or hurtful, but I think we often get shamed if we try to open up to somebody and say, hey, like, I'm feeling like this. They kind of, they don't know what to do about it. And so I had opened up to somebody really close to me, and they kind of shamed me. They're like, well, I don't, you know, there's something wrong with you because you shouldn't feel like that ever. That's bad. And you kind of have to realize that, you know, it's not shameful. Like, you're a person, you're a human, you know, we're women, we are emotional beings, and between pregnancy and after pregnancy and not sleeping and nursing, if you're nursing, and all those things, you know, our emotions tend to get the better of us, especially when we've got little ones that need so much of our time. And so I had to, one, realize that I was not a bad mom because I felt this way. Like, the problem wasn't that I was a terrible mom. The problem was that I was, number one, I was overwhelmed. And the reason that I was overwhelmed was because I was trying to be perfect. And once I kind of got a hold of that and kind of got it under control, I was able to see, to turn and to the Bible and just, you know, God, show me, like, what does it mean to be a mom? Like, what is the truth? And, you know, he just kind of revealed to me, you know, well, the truth is that you can't be perfect. You're not going to, because if you are perfect, then you don't need me. And I was like, well, okay, that makes sense. And so I just started reading, and I would read, you know, in the Bible about people and other women, and I start to, you know, I discovered Sally Clarkson, who I love dearly, and Michelle Duggar, and all these other godly women that seem to have this very calm and peaceful nature about them. And I was like, I want that. And so I just really had to start praying and learning to let things go, learning to do the thing that moms suck at, which is taking care of ourselves. You know, for me, I'm like, I have got to be well-rested. I have to eat. I have to have, you know, at some point in my day, I have to have 20 minutes where I can kind of be off duty. You know, I need to have a little bit of downtime. And once I started making sure to have those things, you know, where literally if it meant that my kids watched 4 episodes of Sesame Street because I needed to go take a nap, then I would be okay with that, and I wouldn't beat myself about that because, like, I've got to be a healthy and happy me, so that I can be the mom that I want to be. Not the perfect mom, but the mom that, you know, I want to be deep down inside. I've got to take, you know, to take care of myself. And so that's, you know, the one thing I say that would have helped the most. And then also just in being open about it, because I found after I kind of got through the trenches of dealing with it and I started to talk to other moms, I realized that I wasn't the only person going through that. I had several women say, oh my goodness, like I feel exactly the same way, but I was so afraid to say something because I didn't want to be shamed or I felt like I was a bad mom. And so just finding that community of other women that are like, yes, like I feel exactly the same way. You know, we're not alone and we can get through that together with support and help. And so that's just been, you know, my saving grace. And I haven't arrived. I still struggle with it sometimes, but now I know. It's like literally, it's kind of like when you have toddlers and they're cranky, you go down the list, like, are you wet? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you need a nap? I kind of run through that from, it's like, LaToya, did you sleep? Do you need a glass of water? Have you eaten today? Like, do you just need to go sit in the bathroom and close the door and have a few minutes to yourself? So that's been just a big, big help. And now it's funny because now my children will say to me, Mommy, you're kind of cranky. You need to go lay down for a few minutes. We can go play in our room and you know, and you can have a few minutes to lie down. Or, you know, my little guy likes to make toast for people. That's what he can cook. So if you're sick or you say that you're hungry and he wants to help, he'll make you toast. So he brings me toast and a glass of water, which is cute. And, you know, it really brings a smile to my face, which is exactly what you need when you're in your moments of feeling like you're about to lose it.
Well, that is so inspiring. Go ahead, Samira.
No, I was just going to say, isn't that funny how, you know, your world can be crashing down and everything can be wrong and nothing's going right and all it takes is a piece of toast.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's what, I know for me, it's just I have to keep reminding myself, and it's been especially for me just personally lately, that all of this is temporary and what the real job here is, you know, what's the most important thing and what will really matter in 100 years.
Yes.
You know. And that's kind of where that's how I keep grounded as well, so.
All right, you think we're ready to have our listeners raise their hand?
I do. I think we've got some listeners out there that are excited to win. So dial in to win. Are they raising their hand, Kimberly?
If you're dialed in, go ahead and hit star 2, and the first person who I see, I'll pick, and you'll get your choice of those two wonderful gifts that LaToya has brought with us, with her today. I'm refreshing. Star 2.
LaToya, what are the ages of your boys?
8 and 5 and a half.
Let's see.
So I've got one going into full-on boyhood and one just leaving kind of the preschool stage.
I see. So we have found...
I have our first hand raiser. Do you want me to bring them on or do you want to say something?
No, go ahead. Bring them on.
Okay. Christy Smith.
Hey, Christy. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited.
Which one were you interested in? The Overwhelmed book or the Mommy Anger audio?
The Mommy Anger audio, definitely.
Awesome. And kudos to you for being able to say that out loud, because like LaToya said and like we all said, you know, nobody ever wants to talk about it. It's this great giant secret, and here we are, like, seething, and like LaToya said, we're not mad at our kids, we're not mad at our husband, we're just, you know, pretty angry.
Right. I'm laughing, but really I'm angry.
Exactly. So
Thank you so much.
Get your email information over to LaToya, and she'll be able to send out your gift.
And
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Christy, for being such a loyal Road School Moms listener. We really do appreciate it.
I love listening to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. And winner number 2 is area code 303. I think this is Laura Hamilton. Is that you? Hello? Are you there? Area code 303 from Colorado? Well, she's not there now, so maybe she'll be there in a little while. What were you saying, Mary Beth?
I was just curious, LaToya, so do you, Kimberly and I have talked a lot over the last couple of weeks about the use of curriculum or no curriculum, or do you use a box curriculum? Are you any certain type of homeschooler, or do you just do what works for you as you go along?
going into my fourth year. And so I hear that means that I'm no longer a newbie, which I'm kind of sad about. I have to stop telling people I'm a newbie homeschooler. But my first couple of years, I used the box curriculum because I felt like I didn't know enough to know what to teach and to pull the materials together, which was quite funny because what I kept finding was that I would spend all of this money on the box curriculum, and then I wouldn't use half of it. My oldest son would either blow through it super fast. I remember I spent all this money on a kindergarten curriculum, and he did the entire, what was supposed to be a 9-month curriculum in 3.
Wow.
And I thought, well, wow, now what? Or, you know, he would get focused on something, and I would feel like we had to stick to it or we would mess up. So now, over the past couple of years, I've been trying to figure out what works best for us, and I discovered this year, it's Charlotte Mason method, and my boys are really doing well with that, which is funny because when I was reading on the different methods, I really gravitated towards classical, and my kids weren't having that. So we had to switch things up. So now I just kind of, I don't buy a particular curriculum. I have a couple of products that I use, like I have a math, curriculum that I use, and then I have for like spelling that we use. But for everything else, I just kind of will maybe find a company or curriculum that sounds like something that I like, and I kind of sneak a peek at their table of contents and then pull my own stuff together based on that.
Right. Isn't it funny how it just takes a little bit of listening to your kids.
Oh, yeah.
With truly open ears, you know, without your spin on things, and it's amazing what they'll tell us with.
Yes, and it was, you know, the thing that I really liked, too, is with Charlotte Mason is that, I mean, I have, you know, I've got the boys, and I've got young boys, so they're just not programmed to sit still and listen, you know, or stay focused for longer than about 10 minutes, you know, at this age. And for with the Charlotte Mason method, it really has allowed us to do a lot more than I was doing beforehand, with the read-alouds and lots of outside time and short lessons. It's just been really, really fantastic and great, and I'm finding that I am spending, I mean, at least 50% less than I was spending before on stuff. And also that's because my new kind of criteria, if I'm actually going to pay for something, it's got to be something that I know I can use with both my boys at least one more time. If it's something that I can buy once and use a few times, you know, even better. But I've got to be able to use it with my next son, or as awesome as it is, I don't buy it.
That's a really great guideline. I like that idea.
Yeah. I was like, can I use this again? Like, yes. Like, oh, great. Perfect.
If our listeners want to hear more of you, we already mentioned that you have your own shows on Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. How do they tune in?
All right. So, actually, this Tuesday is Mommy Jammy's night. It's the second Tuesday of every month at 9 o'clock. I will be there with a guest. And I also have my other show, From Broken to Blessings, which is the second and fourth Tuesdays at noon, I think, is when it goes. It's not a live show because I just can't commit to being in one place, you know, twice a month at the same time live, especially in the middle of the day with my kids up. But it does go live at noon, and I just talk about all kinds of things, you know, being a single mom, parenting, depression, mommy anger, you know, just anything that's relevant to my life and my story I like to share on my show. So I think this week I'm going to be sharing about prayers from the bathroom floor and some lessons that I've learned and that my boys have learned from certain experiences in my life.
Well, wonderful. Thanks so much for being on our show. We really appreciate having you and really appreciate all the things you've shared with us. I'm looking forward to future listeners tune in and hear more of your story. You're, like Andrew said, you're such an inspiration to all of us, and Christy said it too on the chat several times. We're really very inspired by all that you're accomplishing, and we're rooting for you out here.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for joining us tonight, LaToya. It was great to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
So have a good night, and we'll be in touch because we're scheduled to be on your show, I think, in December sometime.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you guys.
That would be a lot of fun. Well, thanks again, LaToya. We really appreciate it.
All right, night.
Good night. Wow, Kimberly, that was a full show. That was the full show is right.
But how intriguing, though, that we have LaToya on as our single homeschooling mom, and then, you know, Jeremy Stewart with, or I'm sorry, not Jeremy Stewart, Andrew
no.
Irwin with Mom's Night Out. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead a whole week. And just to listen to his story about his brother, John, and really how homeschooling was a foundation, the base for their, you know, their whole life, their whole career is pretty inspirational for me.
It is. You know, I was hesitant at first. I didn't know how it was going to work out with the two of them, but there was so many common threads. It was a really interesting show. I'm really excited about future listens, how that's going to go. So what does it look like at Road Trip Teacher this week? What's going on there?
Oh, this week we are, as I told you, we are launching our copy work for the national parks. That'll be available this week, so watch for that. And we're working on art in our rig this week, so I think I'm going to turn that over to our Road Trip Teacher blog. Kind of kill two birds with one stone, but we found this book called The Red Ted Art Project. I've shared some things on my Facebook and Twitter shares. Lately, I don't know if you've seen those, but stick projects and paper, toilet paper rolls, and just all the things you have laying around the house. We've had a blast with that. So we are doing kind of some science experiments and art projects this week, kind of kicking off of our summer road school. So that's what we're doing.
Very cool. Well, we got a lot going on at Full Time Families. I mentioned the podcast post, Six Great Podcasts for Traveling Families. We also announced, which was a little-known, best-kept secret, I guess, FTF Rally Wagon Masters post, of which you are highly featured as our very first FTF Wagon Master and all the excellent work you did with the 2014 Winter Rally in Tampa. Thank you. And then we have our other Wagon Master, Jill Denkins, who ran the Rootin' Tootin' Road School Rally for us at the World's Best Road School Convention. And
yep.
I've created special decals for you guys as a one and only, one-of-a-kind Wagon Master decals that only Wagon Masters can get. So I've got that post up with a great big thank you to the two of you, and any information for any listeners who want to be Wagon Masters for future events. And then let me think what else we've got here. We were running a Full-Time Families Father's Day photo contest. If you're a Full-Time Families member and you're on our Facebook, Full-Time Family Members Facebook page, you're going to want to put your photos for Father's Day up, because we every year we make a special tribute to FTF Dad, since they're one of a kind. They've got to be drivers and fixers and at some point road schoolers and all sorts of different hats that the FTF dads have to wear. So we like to honor them once a year with a video montage. And for the best picture that comes across, we have a brand new T-shirt. It's our to-do list T-shirt, and you can see that at fulltimefamilies.com. So the winner of that photo contest will get that brand new T-shirt hot off the T-shirt presses. And then I think there was even something else. I've just been blowing out the blog posts around here.
We can tell you're stationary, Kimberly. That's all I can say.
And then also in honor of the full-time families, in honor of those dads, we have the 10 best Father's Day field trips around the country. You can click on that and find great things to do with your dad anywhere in the country. So just another opportunity for you to celebrate your dad.
That'd be great. I guess we're coming up on the weeks for dads, right? This is next Sunday when we get back together next Sunday night. It will be Father's Day, so that's exciting. And who do we have next Sunday night?
Well, it's odd that you should say that, because when working with Andrew's publicist, we actually had Andrew for next week. So, So I guess it's going to be a surprise. Next week we will see who we get, but I'm hoping that it's going to be someone of the male persuasion.
I'm sure we will come up with something.
Yes, absolutely. So that's our show for the night. Anything else to say?
Nope. It's been a blast. Safe travels this week, and we'll catch up with you same time, same place next Sunday night.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening in, and we'll talk to you. We'll get your drink ready for next week.
Sounds great. Good night.
Good night.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.